2 Samuel chapter, actually 16:23 and then 17:23. 2 Samuel 16:23 and then 17:23. Yeah, our sermon tonight, our study, whatever you want to call it, is about Ahithophel and the... In a minute, I'm going to give you 6 lessons to be learned from this little record of Ahithophel. Sunday morning, I'm going to preach a sermon called, Why Are We Having Hard Times? Why Are We Having Hard Times? I encourage you to be there in your place to hear that message from the Lord's Word. 2 Samuel 16, verse number 23. We've been speaking about this rebellion of Absalom. And here in our text, it's what people felt about the counsel of Ahithophel. Here's what it says. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. And so we can see right away that Ahithophel is a very wise man. His wisdom is so legendary, is of such accuracy, and of such help that people put it right up there next to hearing from God Himself. No other man in the Bible has this said about him. So we know he's very wise. He's super wise. In fact, look in chapter 15, verse number 31. David is fleeing the city of Jerusalem. He's running ahead of an angry mob. And in verse number 31, a person comes to David and says, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David responds to this news with a prayer. A brief, breathed prayer. He says, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. So when David hears that Ahithophel is in league with Absalom, David's response to this news is to pray. Because he knows that this is bad, bad news. This is not what he wants to hear. Things are not going well. David is already in chapter 15. There's a select few people who are clinging to him, leaving their homes and going with him into exile. But when he hears that Ahithophel is against him, he's afraid. He prays and seeks the face of the Lord. Now I want to share this with you. That's probably what you should do and what I should do. When we enter those situations in life that cause us fear, is to pray and talk to God. Who can solve any problem? Who has all power? God does. And so we should take advantage of the opportunity we have to pray. And so this man, Ahithophel, is a super wise man. He's a supremely wise man, but he's doing something that's out of character for a wise man. He's aligning himself with the rebellion of Absalom. Absalom is a rebel. You've never heard and never will hear a pro-Absalom sermon. Probably won't hear it. Absalom is pictured many times in the Bible as the epitome of rebellion. Of course, my dad grew up in the 70s when long hair was a sign of the hippie movement and rebellion against the establishment. And so Absalom, all the time you'll hear him referred to as the hippie king. In fact, I think Lester Roloff, he had a famous sermon he used to preach called The Day God Hung a Hippie, when Absalom got his hair caught in the tree and perished soon after. But Ahithophel lines himself up with a rebel. The Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of what? Do you remember? The sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is like idolatry. And so Ahithophel... He's very wise, but he lines up with Absalom. Why would he do that? Why would he line up with a rebellious man? We believe it's because of his desire to repay David for his adulterous affair with Bathsheba. We've talked about that a little bit. This is in his craw. It bothers him that his granddaughter's first marriage was wrecked by David. And so he holds this against him. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 17, look at verse 23. Ahithophel has been speaking. Absalom has asked his counsel. In verse number 1, Ahithophel speaks to Absalom and he gives Absalom some advice. In verse number 23 of chapter 17, Ahithophel, he sees that his counsel will not be followed. So he saddles his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his fathers. In chapter 16, he's the wisest man. In chapter 17, he's a spurned man. He has given his judgment, he's given his advice, he's given his counsel, and it is not heeded. He's spurned. His counsel is put in low esteem. Someone else's counsel is favored over him, and he is aggravated. He's perturbed by it. He's so bothered by it that he goes home, back to his home. Now what does he do when he gets there? Notice in our text, the Bible says, and this is interesting, there's reasons why he does these things. He went home, and he got to his house, into his city. And what did he do after he got to his city, into his house? Put his house in order. What does that mean? He got his affairs lined up, you know. He got his insurance papers out so his wife could find them. He made sure probably that the bills that needed to go out in the mail were ready. Make sure everything was paid up to date. He probably got his wife in there and said, "Honey, now look. Here's what you need to do." Got the children lined out. Got everything fixed up. He got his house all ready to lose its head. And he goes out after that and hangs himself. And what happens after he hangs himself? Look at your book there. Hanged himself, and what happens? When you hang yourself, chances are you're going to die. He hanged himself and dies. And then he's buried in the sepulcher of his fathers. Now, hanging yourself is not an honorable way to die. It's not the way you want to go. But Ahithophel hangs himself. And even though he dies in a disgraceful manner, he's buried in the sepulcher of his fathers. He shows him an honorable burial. Now he knows, he goes home and does this. Why? Is it really that big of a deal to not have your counsel acted upon that you think, well, I have no reason to live and I should go home and hang myself? Is that an overreaction? I would say so. What if you're at work at your place? This is Ahithophel. He's at work. And they say to you, "What do you think about this problem?" You say, "Well, I think we should do this." And they go, "That's a good idea, man. What do you think, Billy Ray?" And Billy Ray, he says something else. And they, "Man, we like that idea better. We're going to do what he says." Go home and hang yourself. I mean, that's an overreaction, isn't it? It's ridiculous. Even if Billy Ray's idea is totally stupid, it's an overreaction to go home and hang yourself. And I began to work up a sermon along those lines. He overreacted and took himself totally out of the picture. Could Ahithophel have provided more wise counsel? Did not having his counsel acted on one time make him an unwise man? This meant they chose not to go with his idea. I started to work up a sermon along those lines about the danger of overreaction. I guess I'll go ahead and speak about it while I'm here. Be careful about overreacting to problems you encounter in life. Overreacting will come back to haunt you. Knee-jerk reactions are usually regretted. Have you ever been really angry at something and you took a hammer to it? Or maybe you got mad and you threw something and you broke it? Maybe you're really ticked off at somebody in your family and you just screamed at them bloody murder. You know, you can't take those words back. You can't do it. You can't go back and undo that stuff. It leaves scars and welts and bruises. And we've got to be careful about the way that we react to situations in our life. Ahithophel, he overreacts totally and hangs himself. Now, in a metaphorical sense, people tend to overreact and hang themselves a lot. They get mad at their church people. They get mad at coworkers or a boss, and they haul off and quit their job. People get mad at their wife or their husband and say, I'm leaving, I'm never coming back, and they never come back. People can overreact and really bring cause the death of relationships. And so be careful about overreaction. Now, there is a specific reason why Ahithophel goes home and hangs himself. And here's why. He knows. Now, the idea that he had was Absalom said, what should we do? David's on the run. Ahithophel said, let's take 12,000 men and let's go kill David right now. He's tired. He's on the run. He cannot defend himself. Let's go kill him right now. Let's not wait. Let's put this baby to bed. Let's chop off his head and it'll all be over with. Now, Absalom said, no, we're going to go with Hushai. Hushai said, don't do it. Take time. Get the kingdom around you. And Ahithophel knows that by giving David an opportunity to regroup and get his men around him, that he's a dangerous man. Dangerous man. He knows that by not killing David, at the start, gives the mighty king the time he needs to recover and regroup and ultimately retake the throne. Speed is of the essence. Ahithophel knows that the time to strike is while the iron is what? Hot. Hit your enemy when he's weak. Hit your enemy when he's discouraged. Hit your enemy when he's alone. Hit your enemy when he's vulnerable. And Hushai says, no, we shouldn't. And Absalom goes with Hushai, and Ahithophel knows this is foolish. You see, David is not a man to take lightly. David's not the kind of guy you want to underestimate. What did David do that no one else in Israel ever did? He killed a Goliath. He killed a giant with what? A sling. This is unheard of in the annals of Israeli history. It's never happened. A boy of maybe 15 years of age goes and kills a giant and then takes the giant's sword and cuts off Goliath's head. It's about King David in his youth that they sang this song that Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain how many? Tens of thousands. It is David who is offered the wife of Saul. And King Saul says that you'll bring me 10 foreskins from 10 Philistine men. What did I say? The wife, the daughter. David's going to marry Saul's daughter if he can pay the dowry of 10 foreskins from 10 men. Now, friends and neighbors, I think a foreskin is a hard thing to get away from a man. I think it'd be difficult to latch on to that. David brings 200. He's not a man to be trifled with. He's not a man to be held in low esteem. It's David who, while he's in the wilderness running for his life, is able to attract other mighty men and had the most powerful guerrilla war party Israel's ever experienced. For 10 years, David is able to keep at bay the armies of Saul with a few hundred men. King David, with a few of these guerrillas, is able to cause fear in the hearts of the Philistines. David is not the kind of guy to take lightly. You do not want to underestimate David. Ahithophel knows this. And Ahithophel knows that if David has the time, if David has the opportunity to surround himself with able-bodied men, if he has the opportunity to get his sword sharpened, if he has the chance to hatch a plan, they're done for. They're done for. It's over. And so Ahithophel, he kills himself to avoid the death of a traitor. Because if David comes back into power, guess what happens to all the men that sold him out? Gone. All the men who ousted him, dead. Ahithophel kills himself to avoid the death of a traitor. And also, all the property of these men who were traitors, who turned against David, they would also lose their property as well. Their property would be counted forfeit to the crown. And so Ahithophel goes home and kills himself, keeping himself from being killed by David for high treason. He goes home and kills himself, gets his house in order. That way his wife and family doesn't lose their property. Because he knows he is on the wrong side. Now, are there lessons to learn for us? I'm going to give you 6 lessons to learn. Then we'll pray and we'll depart. Number 1. A man's wisdom should be used to aid the cause of good and right, not oppose it. We all have a measure of wisdom. We all have a measure of wisdom. Some of us are wiser in some areas, more wise in some area than others. No one is all-knowing and all-seeing. No one knows everything. And a wise man is a man who uses his wisdom for the right cause, the cause of good and right. And Ahithophel has great wisdom, but he takes that great wisdom and he uses it to aid the rebellion of Absalom. Ahithophel should have used his wisdom to aid whom? David. Number 2, wise men are needed. Every community needs wise men. Right? We need wise men. But true-hearted men are better than wise men. A wise man may not be a righteous man. Is that true? There's a very wise man born right here in our city and ascended to high office. Who was it? Very wise.
You're saying somebody can be intelligent and wise without
being a Christian? Yes. 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 So,
there's a difference in intelligent and wise.
Indeed.
I would listen to books before I would listen to Bill.
Carolyn says, no way, buddy. So, not all wise men are true-hearted men. Here in our text in the Holy Scriptures, we see Ahithophel, whose wisdom is counted as high as what? The oracles of God. Is he true-hearted or false-hearted? False-hearted. He is...
Don't you reckon there was a time in his life that he was true to David and used God's wisdom?
That's point number 5. Point number 5. We need true-hearted men. Men who have hearts that are pointed towards the Lord. Men whose hearts are soft and moldable. Men's hearts who are upon the wheel of God being fashioned and formed by Him. We need men whose hearts are true. Because just because a man is wise doesn't mean he has a good heart. Just because a man is brilliant doesn't mean he's walking with wise. Number 3, resisting the will of God is a fool's errand. Who did God want to be king of Israel?
Nobody.
Who did Ahithophel want to be king of Israel? Who did Absalom want to be king of Israel? And these men, God had sent Samuel the prophet to anoint David to be king of Israel. He said, this is the one. This is who I will have on my throne. It's from this king that will produce the Messiah eventually, the eternal King Jesus. God didn't send any prophet to anoint Absalom king, did he? He didn't. God chose Saul to be king. And when Saul transgressed against the Lord, God sent Samuel to choose David to be the new king. Obviously, the Lord, He is able to choose His kings. He did not choose Absalom to be king. He chose David to be king. And you can see how in the Scriptures how God providentially puts David in a place where he can be trained by Saul to be king. When you resist the will of God, it's foolish. God's will be done. You cannot stop God's will. God's going to establish a kingdom on this earth one day. And he is going to crush and destroy every person who never gets born into that kingdom. Every person who resists the kingdom of God, God will destroy them. Mankind cannot oppose the will of God. God's will be done. It's God's will that the world be evangelized, and the world will be evangelized. And no man, no machine, no power on earth can stop God's will. When you resist the will of God, you're on a fool's errand. You're going to wreck and ruin yourself. Number four, when you enter a cause, give your all. When Ahithophel aligned himself with Absalom, and I guess this is a phrase that we've maybe developed in the last few years of being all in. What do I mean when I say we're all in? It's total commitment. I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm in. I'm a part of it. And when you get involved in a cause, when you enter a cause, give your all. Ahithophel gives himself totally to the cause of Absalom. He gives himself so fully and so completely to the cause of Absalom that when Absalom chooses someone else's advice, he just goes home and kills himself. When you get involved in a cause, give it your all. The Church of God suffers today because Christians do not give their all. And I don't mean their money, I mean themselves. The Apostle Paul said about the church at Corinth. He's talking about the Macedonian. He's talking to the church at Corinth about the Macedonian believers. And he said these people were better than anybody else, not because they gave a lot, because they didn't give a lot, they didn't have much to give, but because they gave themselves to the Lord, gave themselves to His work. When you enter a cause, give it your all. Isn't that what we want to see from people on a football field? This Sunday, I think I was at the barbershop Tuesday. And I didn't know who was in the Super Bowl, but I know now. It's the New England, what are they called? Patriots. San Francisco?
No, New York. New York Giants.
San Francisco's baseball, isn't it? New York Giants.
I saw it on a cake in Walmart.
And the New England Patriots.
That's football.
That's football. And these people are going to be playing on Sunday. For the title, for the trophy. And that's what, if you're a Patriots fan or a Giants fan, that's what you want to see. You want to see your guys giving their all. When I was a kid, I remember watching the Chicago Bears play, and he had a guy who was a wide receiver. His name was Waddle. I want to say Tim Waddle. Does anybody know if it was Tim Waddle in the 80s, maybe, mid-90s? And they said he was playing with a concussion, and he had his hand all taped up, you know. Maybe, I guess he was a receiver. But they said that in the tape on his hand, he had smelling salts taped in there on his hand. Because every time he got tackled, he was going out. He was going unconscious. He was feeling loopy. And he would take a whiff of that smelling salts to get puffed back up, to get back in the game. I mean, that's giving your all. Kurt Schilling, I remember a few years ago in the World Series, remember the bloody sock, the Boston Red Sox? His tendon is torn out in the back of his leg. And before he pitched in every game, they put one stitch around that tendon. Remember that, Butch? That tendon in the back of his leg? And he's pitching in the big games, bleeding. His shoe is filling with blood. He has to have doctors sew him up just temporarily. I mean, that's giving your all, isn't it? I mean, that's total commitment. And what are those guys doing it for? Kurt Schilling, I don't know. He's probably doing it for, $10 million a year. Tim Waddell, back then, he probably wasn't making $250,000 a year. They're doing all that for something as paltry and as insignificant as money. It doesn't matter how much money you make in this life, you ain't taking none of it with you. There's only one thing you're going to take into the next life, and that's what you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Tim Tebow, obviously, he's a figurehead for Christianity in the world today. But when he goes to heaven, God's not going to say, "Way to Tebow on the field. God is not impressed by what man can do with his physical body. I mean, Tebow, any athlete, was born, and God gave them certain natural abilities that only they can do what they do. But God has given every person the ability to be faithful to Him and to follow His Word. And that's what pleases the Lord, is when our lives please Him. When we're giving our all to Him and to His service. God does not care about home runs batted in, or touchdowns scored, or goals scored. God doesn't care about how much money we have in the bank or don't have in the bank. God is concerned with you and me becoming like Jesus Christ and doing the work of Jesus Christ, which is gospel proclamation. Number 5. Unresolved bitterness will lead you to yoke up with fools and rebels, and that will get you in trouble. This is where Ahithophel's problem comes from. There has to be a reason why he jumped from David to Absalom. It's because he was mad at David. That's the only thing we can figure out, is that he is continually bitter at David over Bathsheba. Continually upset with him. The reason Absalom is kicking his father off the throne and trying to kill his own father is because Absalom is mad at David for not killing Amnon because Amnon raped his sister. Bitterness. It's an awful thing. Bitterness is like a crack in the sidewalk. It appears. And you can go, it just happens, a natural thing. How many of you feel like becoming bitter is a natural part of human life? It happens so easily, it has to be natural. It's on our human nature. And it cracks. And then weeds grow up through it. And things root up through it. I've seen sidewalks, you know, where a tree shot up through the crack. And then a tree grows and the sidewalk gets all bent up. And the whole thing is messed up. This is bitterness. Unresolved bitterness. It causes Ahithophel to yoke up with a rebellious person. To run with a fool. And who suffers for it? Well, Ahithophel ultimately suffers for it. Because he knows he's put his eggs in the wrong basket. This is what makes a person go from being good to bad. They don't deal with problems in their life. They just keep mudding over it. Up there at the parsonage, when I first moved there, I guess almost 4 years ago now, Brother Larry, he had done a lot of work in there painting, and he had taken up, Butch, is that right? He had taken up all the carpet and the flooring, and they brought the flooring after he left. Is that how it worked out? And so, so we got there, all had nice, everything was great. You put those trip things in there, didn't you? What are they called? Those kick plates, whatever they're called, little boards between a couple of doorways. And then, not long after it was here, the nursery flooded. Remember the nursery flood? Hot water heater burst back there, and we had to get new carpet in the nursery. Well, I'm shopping around for carpet for the church, so we got to put new carpet in. And I go down here to Ken's Carpet World. You know Ken down here on 2nd Street? And I talked to Ken. I said, Ken, we need to get some carpet. And he did not want to do any work for us. I couldn't figure out why. What's wrong? He said, well, that guy who was here before, he had me come out there and measure the whole parsonage, and he had gotten a price. He'd wanted to put hardwood floors throughout the whole house and just do a lot of stuff. But then he left, and so obviously that work didn't get done. And Ken came up there to my house because the carpet in our house, it sheds like a dog. I mean, it sheds. And I asked him, I said, this is defective carpet. He said, no, it's just the way that it's cheap carpet. That's the way that carpet is. It just sheds. And so I said, oh, show me, you know, what he had talked about doing. He said, and I told him all this stuff. He said, and right here, he walked right over there by the doorway. The kitchen is right here. The dining room is right here. And he said, right here, there was a big crack in the floor. And I told him I wouldn't put anything over that until we got it fixed. Because it caused warranty problems on that laminate flooring. Okay? And so, well, when Larry left, he just got some linoleum and glued it down. Whoever did it, just glued it down. Well, if you go to a couple weeks ago, I'm walking into the dining room, and I look at the floor, and I thought, what in the world did we spill down there? And I reached down there, and I You know, take my fingernail and scrape the floor and there's a crack. And the linoleum was glued down on both sides. And, if you notice, everything around here, it's on a pad. What's it do? It cracks. And you can see how the addition on the house, where the master bedroom and stuff is at, it's settling like that. And where that linoleum was just glued down over a crack, it's settling more. And guess what's happening? It's tearing that linoleum. There's a crack. I took a piece of fiberglass rod about that long. It's like you know, a fishing pole. And you can poke that thing down there 2 feet down the ground. It's incredible. But you know what? They just patched over that with that linoleum. Just laid it over and it looked great. Nobody could ever tell. Well, guess what? In time, what happened? There's a crack. That's what unresolved bitterness and issues do. That's what happens. You can cover it over. You can put Bondo. How many of you put Bondo on a car? Ever put Bondo on a car? What happens? 5, 6, 10 years? 3 years? Bubbles and cracks? And it's a mess. And this is what happens. Got to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, it's going to wreck and ruin you. It's going to make a mess out of you. It's going to cause serious problems in the future. Now, sometimes you cannot fix a crack. You just got to leave it alone. Because having your house leveled is a lot of money, right? My mother-in-law's had her house leveled twice. And, you know, obviously that part of where she lives at is cursed. Because I think she just needs to, I don't know, just burn it down, maybe. I don't know. But if you just, you got to deal with it. Hezbollah never dealt with it. Because it's a big problem. It causes him to change sides. Causes him to go from being a good guy to being a bad guy. From going from wearing a white hat to wearing the black hat. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. Lastly, number 6. Doing the wrong thing has consequences. Did Ahithophel do a wrong thing? No doubt about it. Now, sometimes you'll do a wrong thing and there's consequences for it. What does Ahithophel do? What's his reaction to his bad decision? Kill himself. Now, killing yourself, people think if I kill myself, all my problems will be over. Well, yes, they will be over. If you're a believer. But if you're not a believer and you kill yourself, you will go to hell. And if you are a believer and you kill yourself, you will go to heaven and be there forever. So you will end your problems. But killing yourself doesn't erase what you did. It doesn't erase what you did. And if you kill yourself, it's like taking a highlighter and going whoosh, over your mistake. Because somebody's going to say, what happened to Bill? Well, he killed himself. He killed himself. Well, why'd he do that? Some people kill themselves because they got bad health, you know? They know they got terminal disease, so they just check themselves out permanently. What happened to Bill? Oh, man, he did this and he just couldn't live with it. It's there forever. And you're going to make mistakes in your life and the little devilish voice is whispering in your ear, just go ahead and kill yourself. Because some mistakes you make can be so big, you think that's the only way out. Just highlights it. Just puts it up in lights. Killing yourself doesn't erase anything. Ahithophel killed himself. Are we still reading about it? That's right there in the book, isn't it? Judas killed himself. Are we still reading about it? Saul killed himself. We're still reading about it. Samson killed himself in a manner of speaking. We're still reading about it, aren't we? During the Bible. Now, but if you live it down, you can live it down. You can live it out. But you got to stay alive to do that. Because if you just live, you say, I messed up. I really messed up. Well, you can't go back, can you? You can't go back. There's no time machine. You can't go back. All you can do is go forward. And it's like this. You know? If this is what you know, you're back here by this board. This is your big mess up. Okay? That's your big mess up, whatever it is. You just keep on living your life. And guess what? The longer you live, the further you get away from that, don't you? And sometimes the people who knew about it, they'll die. They'll forget about it. There'll be something else happening in their life, and they won't worry about you anymore. You just keep on living your life. And eventually you get all the way down here to the end, and then you're going to die. And that's way on back there in your past. You just keep on going. You live it down. Ahithophel, he kills himself. He says, that's my only solution. Just go home and take my life. Dumb. I don't know. We don't know what David would have done when he came back into power. David might have shown mercy. David might not have shown mercy. David showed mercy to many people when he came back into power. He didn't kill everybody. He showed mercy. One guy, he said, you go back to your city and don't you ever leave that. If you ever come outside that city again, you're a dead man. And the guy went home and stayed in that city until one day he lost some mules or something. And he went outside the city, living, looking for his mules. And David had told him, you ever come out of that city again, you're a dead man. He came out of the city. He got killed. Live it down. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to do that. Just keep going forward. Jesus forgives. There's forgiveness for sins. And you keep going forward. It might take a long time to live some stuff down, but it can be done. Can be done. Can be done. Well, that's all I got to say to you. Let's bow our heads and close.